And we're back here on Let's Talk Sports. Cecil Wright and Jeremy Diamond talking all about the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum, of which Jeremy is the chairman and the hardest working man in sports activities in Canada, in my opinion. I am so happy that I was able to connect with you, Jeremy, and I want to thank you once again for agreeing to spend some time with us.
Happy to. Thanks for having me again.
All right. I heard that there's a possibility that the Tampa Bay Rays will be playing some games out of Montreal in 2022. And it just got me so excited because, I mean, even though I'm a Red Sox fan, I appreciated the Montreal Expos back in the day. I loved that team. They got ripped off. We all know it. I had the best team in baseball and then had the season wiped out. Are you hearing anything out there about that possibility?
Yeah, I've been hearing about it for a little while. I mean, what a wonderful rumor. I think it would be great for everybody involved with Canadian baseball, of course, to have games back in Montreal. We're seeing what has happened over the last number of years with the end of Jays spring training. They have a series in Montreal, and anybody that follows the Jays closely will know that a couple years ago when Vladdy Jr. hit that walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth to win the game, and how that Olympic Stadium just exploded. So I really think that there is great interest from what we're hearing out of Montreal for at least some games to be played there, if not having a team back proper. But as we know, there's a lot that has to be put together for that, whether it's plans for a new stadium or ownership group, but let's get excited about, hey, if there's a handful of games or even half the season that plays there. I think also a lot of people look around and outside of the playoffs, you see very small crowds in Tampa. And I think a lot of people that think that they can probably outdraw that two or three times in Montreal, considering the great deep baseball tradition that's in that city. So, hey, we'd be in favor. I'd get on a train and go watch those games and be a booster for that idea. So we're fingers crossed that happens sometime soon.
Well, the other thing I'm hearing is that they would stay in the American League East Division, which means that it'd be Toronto versus Montreal, and wouldn't that be something special?
Yeah, let's do it. For somebody that remembers growing up watching and going to the Pearson Cup, some of your viewers may remember that back in the 80s, that was a rivalry that we had to create because, of course, we didn't play each other. We weren't in the World Series together. We weren't in the same league before interleague play. So any opportunity to put us against each other, and by us, I mean the Jays and the Expos, would be wonderful. And I think that would draw a lot of attention from baseball fans. Even casual fans would come out and see those games, I think.
And, of course, we have to talk about the success of the Toronto Blue Jays this past season, where they just missed out by the skin of their teeth on making it to the playoffs. But they had a better season, I think, than most people anticipated. Robbie Ray helped out. But, of course, the real talk of the town is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., isn't it?
That's for sure. I mean, an incredible season. I'm always amazed, being a baseball fan and somebody that's in the game a little bit, how you can have as a player such a great season when everybody is expecting you to have a great season. Pitchers know how to pitch you. Teams are prepped for you. This is not a surprise. This guy has been somebody that people have been talking about since he was 15, 16 years old. And to still do it under those conditions, under that pressure, I think he missed one game this season. And I think I remember he didn't even want to come out of that game or not play that game. So committed, just seems like a great guy in the clubhouse and on the field, off the field. This is somebody that we hope in Toronto and in Canadian baseball can lead the Jays for another decade or so. I think the other thing about Vladdy is that, as some of your listeners may know, he was born in Montreal. So wouldn't it be great to be able to secure him to play for Canada, during the next World Baseball Classic? I know that, of course, his connection to the Dominican through his dad and his family. I know that he lives there, or at least partly there, in the off season. But what a coup that would be for Baseball Canada to be able to get him to represent the red and white during that tournament and other tournaments, maybe the Olympics eventually. So high hopes for this team with Vladdy, but maybe even for him playing for Canada, which would be wonderful.
I am sure that the executives for Team Canada will be rolling out the red carpet for this young man to play for our country. I can only hope, anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
I also wanted to talk about Robbie Ray for a second, because I know he's a free agent, and you know, he's going to listen to offers, but boy, oh boy, what a year he had. This guy could very well win the Cy Young Award, couldn't he?
Yeah, and that's kind of the opposite of the Vladdy, right? Who thought Robbie Ray was going to have a Cy Young, potential Cy Young Award season? That came out of nowhere for a lot of people. But, you know, chances are he goes at least to go look at offers. But, you know, where else can you play for a contending team in a clubhouse that you know, for a pitching coach and a manager who you've become close to, who took a chance on you and signed you to a two-year deal? So to come back to Toronto and to finish what he started, whether that's a Cy Young campaign or at least a division title or getting to the World Series, you think that would be a nice carrot for him. So an incredible season, completely surprising, I think, for many people, maybe outside of just him and a few people around him. But, man, it would be great to see him in a Blue Jays uniform next year and for years to come.
And give me your take on Bo Bichette, the slick fielding shortstop, who, I'm telling you, there's another one. When you talk about power, you know, he looks to me like he weighs about 175 pounds, but you'd never know it sometimes when he connects.
Yeah, violent swing, right? Doesn't ever cut down his swing. I think a lot of activity on social or pundits talk about, why doesn't he just choke up and put the ball in play with two strikes? But some of his best hitting has been with two strikes, and it's going to be hard to change your approach for somebody that's had so much success. And he'll cut down on his errors. And had, you know, probably, I think, a couple dozen errors this year, but still a young player. I think that we think with these players that you see them in a Jays uniform for a couple of seasons. I mean, he doesn't even have 1,000 at-bats yet. So get him a bit more season, hit more ground balls to him, get him more at-bats. All of those things will, I think, lead to him being a future MVP in this league.
You know, they picked up a player in the offseason that I thought was not going to be happy moving to second base because he'd been an all-star shortstop in Oakland. And lo and behold, what a year this guy had. He ends up hitting the most home runs ever by a second baseman. I'm talking about Marcus Semien, but it looks like he's going to listen to offers, and I think he might end up elsewhere next year. But what a year he had.
What a year. An all-star year. Incredible numbers. And also I think it sounds like from what he was talking about and Bo talked about, you know, a great leadership opportunity for Bo sitting there at shortstop with Semien at second base. Great learning opportunity from a veteran. That double pay combination, that second and shortest relationship is so important and so key to any team. And if he leaves, Bo has taken, I think, a lot from him. In terms of learnings, and it will help him in his experience as he goes through. So, hey, we wish him the best if he moves on. I think you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if he does between him and Ray. But what a season, kind of lightning in a bottle for him this season.
Well, you know, when you're talking about the American League East, you know, you're talking about some real staunch offensive lineups, the Red Sox, the Yankees, of course. Even the Baltimore Orioles have caused problems for every team in the American League East at one point or another. But I want to talk to you about the young pitchers that the Jays had. They went out and they dealt for Jose Berríos. This young Alek Manoah seems like he's the real deal. Talk to me for a second about the young pitchers of the Jays.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to go very far without good pitching and strong defense. And having Manoah in there, Berríos has another year, and maybe we sign him to an extension. You need these young arms, but having the Ray, I think, balanced it out. Having a veteran arm in there, you need a good mix. You need some of these young guys to look over and say, oh, that's the way it's done. But let's not forget about Nate Pearson, who, you know, a phenom for many years, it seems, even though he's probably in his early 20s still. But if he could solidify that bullpen, be that seventh or eighth inning guy to get to Romano, another Canadian, on the Jays, what a great back end of the bullpen that would be. I think, you know, we're seeing, and you watch a lot of baseball, and many of your listeners do, the game's changing, right? There's not going to be even the few complete games that teams have had in the past year or two. We see how that completely changes in the playoffs, that you're lucky that, you know, if a starter goes five innings, and often it's planned that they only go five innings, that they don't face the lineup for the third time, let alone the fourth time. So that sixth, seventh, and eighth inning pitcher and arms are so important, especially when you get down the stretch in a pennant race and into the playoffs. So if we can balance young starters with accomplished and fireballing relievers and a strong closer and a veteran arm or two, if that's Ray or somebody else, I can't wait for spring training, which is only about 75 days away.
Well, I can't let you go without mentioning this. There's two more names I got to throw at you. And first, we're going to go with George Springer, the big free agent acquisition there of last year's offseason. The Blue Jays made quite a splash and spent a lot of money, and Springer has an injury history, but boy, when he's healthy, he's something special, isn't he?
He is, and I think, you know, for a long time, we have seen the Jays as being a team that can't land a big free agent. Players don't know Canada that well. Different culture, different dollar, taxes, all of that stuff. But the last 2 years, getting Ryu 2 years ago, getting Springer last year, I think puts us in a really good position to, you know, to be seen as a real destination for free agents. You know, Springer had a good season and missed most of it, it seems. So it's not only being out with injuries, as most people around the game would know, but even when you're playing with injuries, you're just not the same if you're not 100%. So get him rested, get him healthy. We're going to have him for many more years. And he's such a great player all around, 5-tool player that can do everything. And you have him leading off, in the lineup, it sets the tone for the Jays throughout the rest of the game and the rest of the season.
So when you add Springer to a lineup that already has Vladdy, Bo Bichette, Semien, Gurriel Jr., and we pretty much didn't even mention this next guy, Teoscar Hernandez. Yes. Hello, what about him?
Gets forgotten, doesn't he? I mean, he's had more RBIs than anybody on the Jays this year, but, you know, quiet, unassuming guy. Doesn't have sort of the same flair as Vladdy and Bo does, and obviously doesn't have the same experience, MVP credentials as Springer, so he kind of gets forgotten down in the list of the fourth or fifth player. But what a key player he is to the Jays, and learning how to play, I think, very quickly in outfield, where that was a problem for him in the past. And but, you know, another contract. It's so hard to not think of sports these days without thinking of contracts. And, you know, when I was a kid and I watched sports, we didn't know anything about contracts. We just knew that the players that we had were going to be the players that stayed with us for a while. And free agency has become such a big part of the game, where you kind of count down as a fan, how many more years do we have this guy, right? How many more years until he's a free agent? And it's tough, and I hate thinking about it that way, but even, you know, my son who plays competitive baseball, who's 13 and hasn't been, you know, very big fan of the Jays for his whole life, you know, he thinks about it in that way too. Or how many more years do we have of him, and when do we lose him, and who can we get for him? And it's become such a part of the game that you forget just sometimes just to watch these guys play, and that's the fun of baseball. So, you know, I sometimes try and force myself to forget about next year or the year after in terms of contracts, and watch Teo hit, and that's enjoyable enough to keep you going during a season.
Well, Jeremy, we have quickly run out of time, but you must promise that you'll come back with me. I'm thinking around the start of spring training, when all the birds are chirping again, and we can maybe talk a little bit more in depth about the 2022 editions of the Toronto Blue Jays and the Tampa/Montreal Rays. Wouldn't that be something?
Absolutely. When the snow thaws, just give me a call.
All right. I thank you very much. My guest has been Jeremy Diamond, chairman of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. Stay tuned, because we'll be right back with more here on Let's Talk Sports, right here on CIOE 97.5 FM. Don't you go away.